come time for our last message of this morning service. My, how God touched his servant yesterday. I want you to open up your heart. Let God speak to you in this service this morning. As Brother Tom comes, amen. I love you, brother. Appreciate you. Amen.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Appreciate the dear servants that have already preached this morning. And precious ladies singing for us. I was wondering, Brother Dale, I have been told in baseball that three strikes and you're out. I noticed that you took three strikes this morning at ladies. And with these cool nights, I was wondering if there was a heater in that doghouse at your house. Do not try to do that behind here. Dangerous place to do that. Sure did enjoy the messages, though. And we want to look again this morning at the little phrase that Paul uses 18 times in his writings. It is the little phrase, much more. And we've been trying to look at it under the title of Jesus is all this, he's all that, and oh, so much more. We looked on Monday morning in Romans 5 that the power of Paul's much mores. It is fueled by the grace of God and the love of God. And he's loaded with much more. And then on yesterday, we looked in 2 Corinthians at the portrait, Paul's much more's portrait of law and spirit. This morning, I turn our attention to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul mentions this little phrase a couple of more times. Preached this morning on the position in Paul's much more's. In the New Testament, the truth of being in Christ is mentioned over 100 times. Amen. And 75 of those times are mentioned in Paul's writings. You'd almost think the boy was slap-eat up with being in Christ. Amen. Thought it was extremely important. We find in this 11th chapter of Romans, this position in Christ is a planted and rooted position done by Christ alone. You say, who in the world give him the right to decide who gets planted and who don't get planted? It's simply this, because he's all that, he's all this, and oh, so much more. He told us that we were rooted and grounded, built up in the faith. Matthew said, those that are not planted, my Father, will root them up. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he said, my daddy, my father, he's a husbandman. He's running the vineyard. He decides who gets planted and who don't get planted, who gets watered, who gets dunged. It's all about him. I notice in this text, this position, you've got the Bible there in verse 12. Now if the fall of them, talking about the Jews, be the richest of the world, the diminishing of them the richest of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Mentions a little phrase again in verse 24. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature. We're grafted contrary to nature. That's how come we got in. It's contrary total to nature. Into a good olive tree. How much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I notice in this position of Paul's much more is there's a position right out of the gate of forewarning. It is a forewarning to the Jews. He tells them in verse 11, I say unto thee, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. God allowed the Jews to fall and stumble so he could save the likes of you and me. They fell, they lost their fellowship. God turned to the Gentiles, away from the Jews. Acts 18 says, the Jews didn't want the gospel and they didn't want the Gentiles to have it either. In Isaiah 5, he said he lifted up the hedge on them and let the enemy come in like a flood. Their rich spiritual heritage has come as our fullness this morning. So who in the world gives him the right to set aside a group of people and start working with somebody else? I tell you why. He's all this. He's all that. Oh, so much more. But there is a warning in this text to us Gentiles. That little word he uses in 11 and 12 for Gentiles is not a compliment. We often get our little word dog from it. Now, I know some of you are dog lovers. I'm not a dog lover. My wife is a dog lover. I'm not a dog lover. You can have all my doggy sugar you want. I don't want no doggy sugar. I've watched them too closely. No. Well, them weathermen's on Fox News the other morning telling that dog to give him some sugar. Mm-mm. Foolish. He warns them. He said, let us not boast in our pride, thinking we have done something to have what we have in Christ. Amen. We have done nothing. So what are we to do? The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2, don't neglect so great a salvation. That little word neglect failed to give it our constant attention, to realize that it demands constant maintenance this morning. If God has planted you in Christ, it is a position that must be constantly given your undivided attention. Tells us in Philippians, work out of you what God has worked in. I don't know about you, when I start taking this book, taking it in and working it out of me, sometimes God just really gets big. And I really get to see that really he is all this, all that, and oh, so much more. I was studying not long ago and meditating over in Amos. Amos said that he created the seven stars of Arion. It's a constellation in the sky, seven of them. And I was studying that from one side of Arion to the other side is 17 light years. That's how long. If you just got a itch this morning, you want to take a trip and go from one side of Arion to the other side, you'd have to get a spaceship traveling at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light, for 17 years, and you can go from one side to the other of Arion. But that's not what blew my mind. You get over in the revelations in John said that he had the seven stars in his hand. So we know that at least his hand from one side to the other is 17 light years. Wow, that's a big old hand. What in the world gave him the right to do all of that? Oh, I tell you what he gave him. He's all of this. He's all of that. And he's oh, so much more. Do not neglect what you have been planted in this morning. But I notice also, not only is there a position of forewarning, there's a position of fullness. What has fallen our lot this morning when he set the Jews aside? He says that we have fallen lot this morning in verse number 12. How much more their fullness? The riches of the Jews has become our fullness this morning. It's a term of wealth and abundance, spiritual abundance. Studying that little word fullness, the little word literally means a ship fully laden. It does not need to port anywhere and take on any new cargo. Once you have been planted in Christ, he has put everything on board you that you'll need for the trip. You'll not have to port anywhere, take on any new cargo. Oh, how I was reminded of that, especially in this idea that he has already put inside of me the solution to every problem that I'll ever have. Solutions always come before problems. You say, I can't see the solution to this problem. Because you eat up with the problem.
Amen. That's exactly right.
When we were going through our troubles and I found Beth unresponsive with no pulse in the bathroom and found out that she had C. diff, blood clot in her lung. And C. diff's horrible. I don't know if you know anything about it. Go look it up. It's terrible. But the only medicine they have now, for the most part, is a liquid medicine. And she couldn't take it. Every time she'd take it, she'd throw it up. And so I asked the infectious disease doctor, sweet lady, she's a Christian lady, I asked her, I said, you got any pills for C. diff? She said, you know, she said, they used to make a pill for C. diff. She said, but I don't know if it's available anymore. She searched all over the United States. And you're talking about now a solution for a problem. Fullness. If you plant it. She found some over in Atlanta, Georgia, in a pharmaceutical company over there. And she needed 20 of them. And they told her it cost her $4,000 to get them. That's a lot of money. Even if you say it fast. A lot of money. The old guy in the maintenance in the finance department there at the Athens Regional Hospital, he come up there and told me, he said, you know, he says, I've got with your insurance and your copay and your Medicare and all that. He said, I got it down to $1,172. And he said, I got a little company I can go through a scholarship. He said, take me 3 or 4 days to go through that scholarship. He said, I can get it down a little lower. I asked him, I said, how long it take to get them pills over here? He said, they said they could carry them over here in 3 hours. I said, here's my Visa card. I want them pills right now. I'm talking about a solution for a problem. I went to the mailbox that same day that I got the problem. Now, you know if there's a letter in that box, it has been mailed several days before it has been put in my box. This is the day I've got the problem. But long before the problem, somebody has sent the solution, and it's in my mailbox. A church in Salisbury, North Carolina, didn't even know I was having a problem, sent me a check for $1,200. I paid for my pills and had some change. You say that happened to everybody? Absolutely not. It only happens to people that have been planted. It is a position of fullness. So how in this world can he arrange stuff like that? I tell you how he does it. Because he's all this. He's all of that. And oh, so much more. I see in our text this morning, not only is it a position for warning, a position of fullness, but I see, and here's where a lot of you can't get in. I'm so sorry. You just will not be able to get in here. It is a position of fatness. You skinny people can't get in. Sorry, so sorry. You say you're crazy. You look at the text for yourself, verse 17. He said, and if some of the branches be broken off, thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Said, if he's ever grafted you in, you done tapped into plump obesity spiritually. I wonder if God looks at you this morning and sees you as a spiritually overweight person. Or you look malnutrition, anorexic, spiritually this morning. I notice that this fatness that he mentions here, that it is a fatness of a grafting illumination. He illuminates this grafting of salvation. He says prior to our salvation, he says in verse number 17 that we were a wild olive tree. I was interested in that little phrase. Brown, dead stick. No connections on either end. That's how God found you. Now, I'll not testify for you. I'm just going to testify for me. I am not a stick collector. Especially if they're dead sticks. But he is. Only sticks that he can use are dead sticks. Get your little whittling knife out, whittle on it all you want to. You ain't going to see no green in the sticks that he uses. They dead sticks. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Look at me. I am a dead stick placed in Christ. No, you would never do that. Prior to our salvation, we were dead sticks. Where has he put us? He says in verse number 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not what? Time out! Hold on! You mean to tell me, preacher, I was not grafted into the trunk? Absolutely not. I was not grafted into no trunk. He grafted me into the root. I am in an invisible world. You can't see where I've made my connection, but he can. You say, what's the big deal about being grafted into a root? He said he was the root and offspring of Jesse. Matter of fact, he says, I am the root and offspring of David. He said, David sprung from me and I sprung from David. He said, David was my father and I'm David's father. You say, time out. How in this world can he be both of them? Because he's God. He is all this and all of that. And so much more. I'm not bearing him. He's a bearing me. He's placed me in the root. Matter of fact, Psalms 1 says that I'm like a tree planted. You remember that word, planted? We get our little word, transplanted. It means to violently root out of one place and stick it in another place. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. You have any historical recollection in your life, God ever violently rooting you out of one place and sticking you in another? It's called biblical salvation. Amen. Rip you out of the world of darkness and place you in the world of light. Amen. Rip you out of the world of death and put you in the world of life. You say, who gives him the right to do that? Oh, I'll tell you who gives him the right. He thinks he's all this, all that, and oh, so much more. And I don't know about you, it's just Wednesday morning. He's done convinced me of it. Are you listening to me? Some of you have been looking at me since Monday morning like you ain't convinced yet. Huh? It ain't going to change him at all. He's still all of this, all of that, and oh, so much more. There's the fatness of the grafting illumination. But I see in our text there is a fatness of a grafting illustration this morning. I was thinking about an illustration in our day of this. You have it right here in your North Carolina. Well known for it in the western North Carolina mountains. Matter of fact, as far as I can understand, they developed the process. Whenever a red delicious tree ceases to bear fruit, will not bear anymore. They cut it off at the ground. They have developed a process where they can take a crab apple branch. I don't know if you like crab apples or not. I probably would if you had a 50-pound bag of sugar. But they take a crab apple branch and graft it into that red, delicious trunk. And in a few seasons, it'll begin to bear red, delicious apples. Oh, isn't that what exactly happened? The red, delicious Lamb of God was cut off that I might be grafted in. I was an old, dead crabapple branch, and he grafted me into the red, delicious Lamb of God, and I began to bear fruit and didn't have nothing to do with it. It was all him. How come? He is all this. He is all that. And oh, so much more. Just a little side issue. The little word psalm is the little word mizmar. It means to prune away the temporal so that the eternal can be clearly seen. If you don't keep those trees that they have grafted that crabapple branch, if you don't keep them pruned back, they'll get water sprouts on the end and they'll start bearing crabapples again. If you don't keep me pruned back, I'm liable to bear crabapples again. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, I'm talking about the position of Paul's much more. I was thinking about if I'm going to live in this position and live out of this position this morning, I'm going to have to hang around this little old truth. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Who in the world give him the right to reclaim ruined sinners? I tell you what, give him the right, because he's all this, he's all of that, and oh, so much more. And when I think about that, I want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Who in the world give him the right to take my place on that cross, a seal my pardon? I tell you what gave him the right. It is because he's all of this, he is all of that, and oh, so much more. And when I think what he did on that cross, all I can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. full atonement can it be, who in the world gave him the right to be a spotless lamb, who in the world gave him the right to make a full atonement for my past, my present sins. It is because he's all of this, he's all of that, and oh, so much more. And the only thing I can do, lift my hands and say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. In heaven exalted high, who in this world gives him the right to sit at the very top of forever this morning? Exalted high, choosing to do what will make you happy? No, only what will make him happy. What will please him? What gives him that right? It is because he's all of this, all of that, and oh, so much more. And when I see that, the only thing I can say is what? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Maybe before I get done with this last verse, maybe he would just press you to say hallelujah. Some of you are sitting there like you ain't never been planted. You're still a crab off a branch. Huh? I love the last verse. When he comes, O glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then a new song will sing. Time out! Hold on! Who gives him the right to come here and take us over there as the ransom bride? I tell you who gives him the right. He's all of this. He is all of that. And oh, so much more. And about the only thing I know to say is, hallelujah. What a Savior. It's yours, preacher.
Thank you, brother. Don't you appreciate that preaching this morning?